Hello, and welcome to Faith Outside the Box, where we share faith journeys that take us in unexpected directions. I'm your host, Jan Ingmeyer. Though she wasn't part of a church community when she was young, Sophia Hyatt listened to her mother's Bible stories and lessons about spirituality. When Sophia was a teenager, her family joined a United Methodist Church, and she got involved in the youth group and music ministry. She continued to grow in her faith as she came out as bisexual and queer. Sophia is now a religious studies major at North Central College. Well, Sophia, you grew up identifying as Christian, but weren't really involved in a church. Who were the early influences on your faith?
My mom was the major influence in my early faith life. I was definitely raised Christian in the sense that both my parents were Christian, but I had a lot of room for exploration. So I found myself most drawn to stories, books, anything I could get my hands on about religion. And a lot of those were provided to me by my mom.
Tell us more about your family, and especially your mom, who obviously has had a profound influence on you.
My mom is one of my favorite people, not to brag. I love my mom. but she has always, she was not raised in any specific denomination. And so we sort of existed in a Christian sphere outside of like particular doctrine, which was really interesting for me because we would visit churches here and there and we would sort of explore like, what's going on in this denomination or in this particular style of church, which led to a lot of interesting conversations about faith. And I think really helped me to grow in a faith of my own. And so I feel like I had some faith handed down to me, but I was very much invited to be very personal with it. I was also homeschooled, which gave me a lot of opportunities for different types of education as well. And so I have very fond memories of my mom, like teaching me about all sorts of different faiths, but especially about Christianity, because that's what always piqued my interest and that I came back to. And my mom is very, how do I put it, academically minded, I guess, with Christianity as well as spiritual. So she always had, Thomas Merton, all sorts of different authors that I can't even wrap my mind around how she had the time to read them all raising us kids. But she'd always tell me tidbits of, you know, oh, this is what C.S. Lewis has to say about this. And it always gave me a passion for spirituality and for learning about faith, as well as experiencing it on a personal level.
What a wonderful foundation. Now, when you were 15, your family joined a United Methodist Church. What drew your family there and what did you find?
It was quite unexpected because we'd bounced around to a lot of churches and we ended up at one that was actually quite nearby. So it's like, how did we not end up here before? But I guess that's just how those things go. And we were really drawn to just the idea of community, because even if you have a very strong, like, personal faith life, there is just something about worshiping as a community that is just different and that gives a different insight into what it means to be human, I'd say. So we've found ourselves each in our own little ways, really drawn to the community as a way to connect to other people and sort of experience, you know, the rituals of like a worship service, different opportunities for volunteering. And it felt very much like, okay, we formed a little bit as individuals, but now maybe is a time to explore a different way of coming together with these larger values rather than just holding them individually.
I understand from a young age you've had a particular interest in social justice issues. Where did that come from?
My dad always called me a firecracker. I've always been a little bit feisty about these things. I would say, yeah, that also came a lot from my mom about holding values, sort of like, I don't know, hoping to see, you know, when we say the Lord's Prayer, the idea of God's kingdom on earth. I've always taken that very seriously. And this idea that we should be working to, you know, be the hands of Christ on earth and shaping the world to be equitable, to be, you know, more equal for everyone involved. And so that's always been something I looked for in a church, was that it wasn't just, oh, we believe in Jesus. I've always really longed for community that's It's not just, oh, we believe in Jesus. It's, and that asks us to do something. We believe in Jesus, and that means we must respond by trying to make the world a better place. And I've always found myself drawn to queer issues, reproductive rights, racial equality, disability justice. I mean, you name it. I've done my deep dives in my documentaries and stuff. Like I said, I was homeschooled, so I was like, I'm going to learn all about everything. So I've always been, yes, very drawn to that as both just a personal interest as well as an extension of my faith life.
Tell us about your process of coming out as queer. What was it like telling people about your identity, and especially in your church?
Oh, goodness. How long do we have? Long process, as it is for everyone. That's one of those things where you can be raised in the most affirming, accepting household and still experience so much confusion just because of the narratives that the larger world tells, and that for a good deal of Christian spaces tell as well. And so I always, looking back, I'm like, I could have put the pieces together quite early, but I that didn't fully happen until I was actually starting to leave high school, start college, even though I'd, you know, had my suspicions for a while. I didn't fully allow myself to look at that part of myself until later in my teen years. And so then when I did finally come out, it was both like a huge relief because I was like, oh, I finally accepted this part of myself. And I think part of why I was able to accept myself was because I wasn't raised in the early years in the church. And that's such a sad thing for me to say, because I would hope that, you know, if you're a kid and you're raised in the church, that means you've grown up surrounded by love. But I think for me, one of the things that saved me from maybe future decades of self-hatred was the fact that I grew up outside of that church doctrine. And so I didn't grow up hearing things like, hey, people are going to go to hell or anything like that. I'd always been raised with a very loving, justice-filled type of Christianity, which I think is part of what made it easier to think, oh, I don't think this is something bad about me. I think maybe this is just how God made me and actually is a great thing about me. So once I came to terms with that, I knew that, well, God doesn't hate me. So I wasn't super worried about like the Christians and what they might think at my church, because I was like, well, I know God loves me. I know my parents love me, and I can figure out the rest. But it was difficult. And even to this day, it's like, you don't always know how people are going to respond. I had lots of positive responses from Christians and non-Christians. And I had some negative responses from both Christians and non-Christians. A lot of them were Christians. So it's just sort of the mixed bag of being both queer and Christian, I guess, is that there's going to be a lot of different responses.
Indeed, indeed. So even some of the more progressive Christians, like some of the United Methodist churches, haven't always been accepting of LGBTQ people. Was it difficult to be part of that denomination that didn't fully embrace who you were?
Very much so. That is something I still struggle with to this day, because I remember, I think it was before I came out, that there was, I was in high school and I was doing my own thing, so I wasn't quite sure what was going on, but there was talk of like this traditional plan passing, and I was like, what does that mean? Like, I know my pastors aren't homophobic, but like, I care about this larger denomination. I'm over here looking at my social principles being like, wait, what does this say? It's so confusing. And so that was something that definitely weighed and continues to weigh on me, is that I would love to think, oh, this is the denomination I've, you know, found community in, and that I do legitimately enjoy a lot of the values of. And yet, you know, there's no guarantee that like, if I go to whatever Methodist church is in the town that I'm in, that I'll be accepted there. And so it's this strange sort of, oh, I don't know what you'd call it, maybe a cognitive dissonance or hypocrisy, even, that the places that I feel the most drawn to and that I have a lot of familiarity with are also some of the like scarier places for me and non-accepting places. And it's just one of those things where I'm like, I see the potential for it to be so different. It's like, we've got the tools, we've got Jesus, we've got scripture, we've got people with such good hearts, I'm like, it could be so different than this. It could be a space for everyone. Like, we've got the raw materials there, and yet here we still are with so many things we still need to learn and so many spaces that need transformed. So it's difficult, I will say that.
It could be beautiful, and there are a lot of people within the United Methodist Church that are also struggling. So you are not alone with that. So now you're studying religion at North Central College and with a minor in gender and sexuality studies. How were you called to that path, and where do you see it taking you?
I started like every single major and changed my major a million times. I started with music, and then I was doing this great book school thing. And then I'm like, well, maybe I'm going to be all these. I have many interests. So I'm like, I could study everything. I'm like, girl, you've only got 4 years. You got to pick something. I actually picked religious studies after I decided, you know what? I feel like I'm being called to ministry, and I don't know how much music composition is going to directly relate to that. And I found myself really interested in not only learning about Christianity, but sort of all faiths from an academic standpoint, just because, you know, when you're queer and you're disappointed by a lot of the Christians that you're surrounded by, sometimes it's helpful to take this more academic stance to sort of be like, okay, what's going on? Let's look at it in sort of a neutral way before it gets, you know, it can get very messy and personal. And so I really appreciated the opportunity to look at it from a different perspective, as well as to look at other faiths and sort of see what even is religion. Like, these are big concepts. And so as part of the idea that I was like, I want to be a deacon in the UMC and I'm going to go make it gay and better, I was like, I should probably study religion. And within that, I was like, okay, if I am going to study religion, what's the aspect of it that I find like most interesting? I was like, well, probably the gay stuff. I always come back to the gay stuff. So I was like, I think I want to do being a deacon, focusing on LGBTQ plus inclusion. I should probably also study gender and sexuality studies as well. So they may seem very separate. And I know to some people, they could not be more opposite. But to me, it's like, oh, yes, this is the intersection of the things that make me most passionate and most excited. And so I've really enjoyed getting to come to that in kind of an unconventional way and in my mind sort of merge the two.
So, Sophia, what are you up to now? What are you envisioning for your future?
So that's kind of up in the air, as I'm sure it is with most near graduates. I'm about to graduate with my religious studies major and gender and sexuality studies minor. And like I said before, originally I was planning on being a deacon within the UMC, but as you mentioned, there's a lot of contention right now and a lot of varying ways that people are expressing themselves regarding queer affirmation. A lot of those ways are just honestly too frustrating for me to deal with. So I'm personally exploring different ways of finding community. I think the things I loved so much about church are things I've also now found I love about queer community and my friends of all different faiths and identities and experiences. And so right now I'm sort of exploring, what does ministry look like outside of a call to ordination, but maybe so something more like, I don't know, a call to different types of community and advocacy. And I don't know, I'd love to one day have enough money to open some gay little Christian community center. But in the meantime, finding new ways to volunteer and get involved and know that, you know, even if I don't have a stole on, there's still legitimate ministry and coming together and finding community.
So let's go back in time. Would the little girl who listened to your mother's Bible stories be surprised about where you are today? And what would you say to her?
Oh my goodness. I think in some ways I would not be surprised at all. And in other ways I'd be like, oh my goodness, you're crazy. Some of my earliest memories are of things that I'm like, girl, how, of course, like this is how you ended up. Because I would like I don't even know how little I was. Little enough to still be playing with play food. I'd be like, here's communion, mom and dad. Let's go play church. Like, we'll sing the one hymn that I have in this random book, like, and make us go through the motions of, like, fake communion and things. So, I mean, looking at that, I'm like, it's not surprising that I was drawn to ministry, because I think I always was way geeking out about things like that more than other kids my age. So that's not surprising at all. And I've always been, like I said, I was a firecracker, very passionate about the things I was passionate about. I don't think super young me would have expected me to be this out and proud. There was a time that I thought, I'm just never going to be able to come out. I'm just going to kind of hate myself. And that's just sort of going to be it. And I'll do other things that'll be making me happy. Like, I can just let this one go. I'll be happy in other ways. And so the fact that I've sort of been like, no, I'm not going to let that go. I'm going to bring all of myself to the table. I think I would be proud of myself, I guess. I don't know. Probably freaked out and be like, I can't handle this. That's why are you putting so much on your plate? But I think it, I don't know. I think it makes sense. And I'm grateful that I've had people in my life who have said, no, you should do the things that you care about, even if it's not something that's super well charted right now in our society. Like, you should bring your full self to the table.
Well, Sophia, thank you so much for letting us walk with you on your faith journey. And to our listeners, be sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, leave us a review, and most importantly, tell your friends. Go to gcbm.org for all the links. Faith Outside the Box is a production of the Greater Chicago Broadcast Ministries, a communications ministry of the Protestant, Orthodox, and Episcopal Churches of Greater Chicago, in cooperation with the Council of Religious Leaders of Metropolitan Chicago. I'm Jan Engmeyer. May peace be with you.